WDEO.net.
Welcome to the Doctor Is In, where you can get free, friendly advice from a Catholic perspective by calling this toll-free number, 877-573-7825. 877-5-PEP-TALK is the number to get on today's show. This is Colleen Kelly Mast, your hostess today, and I'm here to help you with your personal problems and answer questions that you might have as you're trying to live out the Catholic faith. I welcome you to the show, invite you to stay tuned, whether you have a question or not, but I don't know anybody that doesn't have any problems at all or concerns. Sometimes it's something going on right in your own house, you know, a marriage question or raising your children question, sometimes a struggle with the Catholic faith. Sometimes you just need some encouragement or some confidence to live out the faith that we are planted in. Or maybe you're new to the church, maybe you just came in at RCIA and you're trying to say, hey, how do Catholics live this part out, this particular virtue or this particular teaching? Because it's not easy if you want to be a Christian. You got to be attached to the cross. Say, Lord, I want to be like you. Oh, well, not the cross part, though. Well, I'll just take the miracles, but not the crucifixion. But no, we take the whole package there. As we become friends of Christ and children of God and unite ourselves to him through our faith. So I invite you to call in, whether it's something small with your two-year-old or your new baby or a question about your old mother or grandmother, something that's stirring in the family, I invite you to call with your question or personal problem at 877-573-7825, 877-5-PEP-TALK. My name is Colleen Kelly Mass, and I'm a mom of five. I am a wife for more than 30 years. I came from a family of nine children. I'm the second oldest of nine kids. And I'm a speaker and an author. I wrote two workbooks on chastity and abstinence with parents' guides and teacher manuals to go with them. I did this, first of all, many years ago and revised them more recently in this millennium because I was a teacher and I saw that the kids that were in my classes wanted more information than was available. They didn't get any specific direction back in those years. It was kind of the fuzzy years of the church and even the catechism books. And even the religion textbooks didn't give good guidance in the area of love and in the area of life. And so I began to teach much more clearly than any of the books that I found there. And I saw that the students responded so well. They wanted to hear the good, hard truth. I mean, it wasn't as hard as Father Crappie, I'll say that much. But for the, you know, 70s and 80s and 90s, it was strong. And they appreciated the truth. They liked that. And they said, you know, so then people would ask me to come around speaking at their parish. Like, how did you get your students to turn out like that? I'm like, I just told them the truth. I got the document, Humani Vitae, out. And my 17-year-olds read it. And the 16-year-olds would read the Vatican Educational Guidance in Human Love and the Vatican Declaration on Sexual Ethics. And like, wow, you know, where'd you find those? I'm like, well, you know, it's free from the bishops. You know, the Pope wrote it already and the Vatican Councils wrote it. And so I taught my own students and then put this into fun methods. And so I wrote the Love and Life program and the Sex Respect program. Love and Life is written for Catholic homes, parents and their teenagers or early teenagers or pre-teenagers now need the information. And then, Sex Respect, my public school program. I got my master's degree at a public university, and Sex Respect was written as part of my curriculum project at a public university, so it's abstinence from a health perspective. And I also give talks. I love coming out to parishes. Last weekend, those of you that listened Monday knew that I was in Edmonton, Canada, with a wonderful, lovely group of young moms and gave them a whole day seminar raising kids with character. And their whole theme was called Grow With Us. So I talked about how to, you know, raise your kids and discipline them and then how to raise kids that know about love, how to raise love-wise kids in a lustful world. And I gave my four Heart Healthy Habits for Holiness talk just for the moms in Richmond themselves. So that's was a great day. The ladies learned a lot, and it was fun to be there. So if you need someone to come out to your parish for a day retreat, I also give retreats for any age women, not just young moms. I give a spiritual spa day or a faith lift day. and still have some openings for fall. You can go to my website at sexrespect.com or call our office at 877-6-RESPECT, where you can get the Love and Life books, the Sex Respect books, or a book of speaking engagement, or just read the list of what all the different talks are. If you need something for junior high students and their parents, or for your youth group, or for parents of young children in general about character growth and training, or about teaching them about love and answering those little teachable moments that come up in life, those are all available to you at sexrespect.com. Or just call now. Get free, friendly advice from a Catholic perspective now for the next hour when you call 877-573-7825, 877-5-PEP-TALK. Now, I was thinking today, another good topic to talk about at the beginning, since we're all around with our families and getting near, closer to people that are just coming back to the church for a short time, sometimes for one day, because it's First Communion season. And, you know, I know you've been asking things like, well, you know, if this is my godchild, you know, should I help educate them in the faith, or should I attend this particular wedding? But for those of you that do receive communion, or those of you that are wondering why some people want to receive Holy Communion, the flesh and blood of God, each day, I was reading this morning the effects of communion on the soul and how it sustains us, restores us, and delights us. Sometimes, especially for people that receive communion regularly, whether it's weekly or daily, you have to really stop and meditate and ponder on this great gift that we have in the Eucharist. Because this, literally, just how food sustains our bodies, communion sustains the life of the soul. And we receive God's grace. That's God's life in us. So it keeps Catholics in God's grace, and our soul gets energy. You know, there are people looking for weird energies in weird places. This is spiritual energy straight from God into our soul, into our body, that transforms us, if we're open to that, to become more like Christ. Because they say you are what you eat. So if you're going to somebody's First Communion, make sure that you appreciate what's going on. Help other people appreciate what's going on. It helps restore our bodies from the wounds of original sin and from our personal sin. It brings God's life into our soul, so we're not just so lukewarm and just wondering if we want to live for Christ or not. And it gives us that strength to help avoid even more serious sin. So it develops our supernatural life. So if you're going to receive communion at somebody's First Communion this weekend, make sure you spread that good news of the great gift we have from God, of His body, blood, soul, and divinity in the form of bread and wine. What a great, great gift we have. And you can only get that in the Catholic Church. So it's time for you guys to call. It's time for our first break. So give me a call with your question or personal problem as you're trying to live out your nitty-gritty day in light of our Catholic faith. The number is 877-573-7825. 877-5-PEP-TALK. This is Colleen Kelly Mast here to help you. And I'll be back in just a moment.
The doctor is in. Now, don't you feel better?
During this recession, many investors are afraid to invest in stocks or bonds. It may actually be a good time to invest, since prices are now low. At Ave Maria Mutual Funds, we believe our professional investment experts have positioned the portfolios to take advantage of the economic and market recovery we expect over the next few years. Now may be an opportune time to examine your portfolio and see if the Ave Maria Mutual Funds could help you achieve your goals. To learn more about the pro-life and pro-family Ave Maria Mutual Funds, the number is 1-866-AVE-MARIA to receive a free investor kit, or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
Schwartz Investment Counsel, Inc., a registered investment advisor established in 1980, serves as an investment advisor. All mutual funds are subject to market risk, including possible loss of principal. To obtain performance through the most recent month-end and a prospectus, which includes objectives, risks, fees, expenses, and other information that you should read and consider carefully before investing, the number is 1-866-AVE-MARIA or at AveMariaFunds.com. Distributed by Ultimus Fund Distributors, LLC.
The abortion rate is down, but reports continue to show racial disparity.
This is a special commentary from the Susan B. Anthony List, named for the suffragette who was proudly pro-life.
Abortion rates in the U.S. are at their lowest level since 1974. Of course, this is great news, but we must admit, even in our celebrating, that the victory is somewhat one-sided. The drop in abortion rates, while affecting every race, has been far more significant for whites than African Americans or Latinos. Day Gardner, president of National Black Pro-Life Union in Washington, attributes the disparity to the number of inner-city clinics that perform abortions and calls it a silent killer among us. Over 60% of Planned Parenthood clinics are located in minority areas.
This is Marjorie Dannenfelser, president of the Susan B. Anthony List. To join us in our battle for life, visit our website at sba-list.org.
Welcome back to The Doctor Is In, where you can get free, friendly advice from a Catholic perspective. The number to get on today's show, and there are lines open waiting to hear from you, the number is 877-573-7825-877-5-PEP-TALK. This is Colleen Kelly Mast, waiting to hear from you. Your calls drive the show. You decide what the topics are today. So, let me hear from you. Ann from Missouri is our first caller. Welcome to the show, Ann. How can I help you today?
Hi. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
This is kind of a, I don't know, it's a sensitive question, but a very important one.
Okay.
Two very mature adults. Both of them have had, 30-year marriages in the past.
Mm-hmm.
Now have found one another through the church, met in the church, and are totally in love with each other, totally mm-hmm. accepting God to be with them mm-hmm. in this new relationship. And, of course, they've talked to the priest. They're going to do everything right, make everything right. So it is in the church. The wedding date is not set. It will be sometime in the future.
Mm-hmm.
And because of their total commitment with their beliefs in their faith, in their Catholic faith, they want to abstain from having, sexual intercourse, making love before they're married.
Mm-hmm.
Now, where do you draw the line?
Okay.
You hold hands, you hug, you touch. But, my goodness, how do you hold back, and how far is too far?
Okay. It's one of my favorite questions, Anne. I'm so glad you called in with that. I answer that frequently. I've been answering that for 25 years since I started teaching teenagers. In the Song of Songs, there's a line in different translations of the Bible. It says, "Do not awaken love before it's time." And so we don't want to awaken those sexual passions outside of marriage. So
mm-hmm.
the essential is affection without passion. So affection would be something that you would express to your long-lost brother or sister, that you would not be trying to awake their sexual passions, but you might give them a really big hug and a really big kiss. It's not going to be a wet kiss. It's going to be a really dry kiss on the cheek with a big affectionate hug. So
mm-hmm.
affection that doesn't lead to passion is trickier when you're dating. So I give my teenagers, actually, the something to remember, the three alls, the three annies, and the two A's. That's called keep all of your clothes all the way on all the time. Don't let any part of anyone else's body get anywhere between you and your clothes, or actually even over your clothes and some of the private parts that are easily stimulated. And avoid arousal is the last two A's. So in adults that have already had this awakening and have, lived it and experienced in a marriage before, that longing, when there is true love, is great. I mean, it's a grand, grand longing. So adults in that situation would have to make a very firm resolution now to practice chastity and plan their dates well so that they would only want to do God's will. Some people will go to the extreme of not even kissing one another till their wedding day, and that's a heroic form of waiting, I think. But it certainly is very rewarding, and I'm sure the honeymoon night would be absolutely fantastic after that, if they would go to the reception. I don't know. but in terms
funny.
Of... I've always wondered that at weddings, because even my sister told me at my wedding, she's like, how long are you going to stay? I'm like, well, as long as we have to be polite, because, hey, we're married, it's time, And so the affection without passion. So I would say if an affectionate kiss, something, again, that you would express to your long-lost brother, sister, an affectionate hug, an affectionate kiss, but not a passionate kiss, not a passionate
mm-hmm.
hug, not something that's moving your hands around trying to excite a person. So
mm-hmm.
their goal, their task would be, How can they spend time with the person without arousing their physical passions, which would put them at a temptation?
Mm-hmm. So out of you almost have to plan it out.
Exactly. So out of ultimate respect for that person, you'd have to plan and set limits and not let, you know, every Friday night or Saturday night decide for itself how far you're going to go. Just to say, we're sitting on the couch with our feet on the floor, mm-hmm. and we're going to enjoy holding hands, because holding hands, the electricity flows through us. Mm-hmm. I remember feeling that when I was holding hands with my now husband, then fiance. I mean, you could feel the electricity, and that's good if, as long as you know that we're not going to do anything to try to excite anything beyond that. So touching a person, getting close to a person, laying with a person, even with clothes on, is beyond that limit, because your normal attraction, as long as you have regular hormones, mm-hmm. it is difficult to manage. And what happens when you allow yourself to arouse another person's passions is when you have to stop and say, whew, that, you know, that was just too much. You know, mm-hmm. cool me off. Because of your ultimate respect for the other person, not to awaken love before its time, which is the night of the honeymoon. Because outside of marriage, you do not receive any grace for sexual pleasures. It's a sin to stimulate sexual pleasures in another person outside of marriage. And then that hinders your love. You don't want to sin instead of love, because sin is the opposite of love. So however far step you have to take back to keep that affection from turning into passion, mm-hmm. you want to ultimately respect that. And even St. Paul says, if that's difficult waiting, you know, consider if the wedding night needs to be within 6 months instead of some, unending time. We don't know when it is.
Mm-hmm.
But to
mm-hmm.
ultimately respect that person, their dignity, their purity, and do everything you can to try not to arouse the other person's passion, so that when you give yourself to them totally with grace, with that sanctifying grace of God within marriage, that it's truly a total self-gift without samples along the way.
Mm-hmm. Very good. Thank you very much.
Okay. Thanks for calling, Ann. Happy to answer that question. I answer it so many times, talking to teenagers and engaged couples and things like that. And I, when my teenage students first asked me those questions, I had to go hunt out why, you know, understand what this emotional bonding is and the hormonal and the chemical bonding. How you know, where do you lose your freedom? And so both in my Sex Respect book and my Love and Life books, I talk about where freedom is lost. And when you arouse someone's passions outside of marriage, this flashing light in your brain goes on that says, oh, that feels good. I don't care what happens next. You've lost some of your freedom there. And so affection without passion, don't awaken love before its time. Some tips for those who are engaged: ultimately give the ultimate respect to that person, so that your unity in marriage after the wedding ceremony takes place, when it's blessed by God, will have that ultimate blessing of God, that union of total gift to oneself. And then that activity renews the marriage vows every time you participate in it. So make this holy, faithful, and good. This is The Doctor Is In, where you can get free, friendly advice from a Catholic perspective. Here's the number to call today with your question or personal problem. If you've got little kids, medium-sized kids, big kids, marriage troubles, work questions, you need a second opinion on a decision you're trying to make, this is Colleen Kelly Mast, and I'm here for you. 877-5-PEP-TALK. Anne from Portland, Oregon. We got two Anns in a row here on the Feast of St. Joseph. The mother-in-law was St. Anne of St. Joseph here on the St. Joseph the Workers Day, May 1st. Welcome to the show, Anne from Portland. How can I help you today?
Thank you. The prior call was so much help for me, and I am a grandmother on the hunt for these answers, like you said.
Well, thanks be to God that grandmothers are helping out here these days.
Oh, I think it's my second chance, you know.
Mm-hmm, exactly.
So anyway, I have a 14-year-old grandson, and we're quite close. I've spent a lot of time with my grandkids. And so he talks openly with me, and he and his girlfriend have now become sexually active. They both spend some time with me, and I am pretty open about what I know to be true. But there's a lot I don't know. Mm-hmm. And I've listened to you quite a bit, and he is open right now. He wants to do the right thing. He said he doesn't want to have sex anymore, and he wanted to know if he had to be a virgin to be a priest. That's how I found out about all this. I started piecing pieces together.
Wow, he thinks he might have a vocation of the priesthood, or he's just confused about his vocation.
See, 'cause I think so.
Losing your purity keeps you confused about your vocation. You don't know if you're called into marriage or celibacy. You know, you don't know if you're called to priesthood. Go ahead, Anne.
I'm sorry. His father is going through the same thing, so
okay.
That's where that comes from.
Okay. The first thing you want to do is he Catholic?
Yeah, my grandson's not. My son is.
Okay.
He will be, I'm pretty sure, at some point.
Okay. Because I was going to say the first thing you want to do if he's Catholic is take him to confession so he has that grace and that strength and that healing so he doesn't worry. Another thing, you might take him to the doctor and make sure he didn't collect some unseen sexually transmitted disease.
Good.
My first two recommendations. We want to get our soul and our body cleaned. So confession and a blood test for especially some of the most popular that aren't seen, you know, like chlamydia and HPV, so he isn't carrying that around in his blood. And that will give him a sense of knowledge, confidence, healing, that he will either have that disease treated or be carrying something around the rest of his life, or that he's clean. And then he'll feel spiritually, if he's not Catholic, whatever of his faith denomination, whatever they do to heal themselves and bring that to God to get forgiveness, he needs to experience God's forgiveness. So that would be the first two steps, body and soul. Secondly, I have a whole chapter in my Sex Respect book, that's my public school book, that is just for people like your grandson that wants to turn around, change, you know, did this, said, uh-oh, I shouldn't have done that. And it gives them confidence, tips, how to avoid that in the future, how to resist temptation. So what you might want to do is get the Sex Respect student workbook and parent guide. And Sex Respect has a chapter in it, you know, about having gone too far.
This is exactly what I needed.
And turn around, and it has exercises, discussion questions you can talk about with him. So get the parent's guide and the student workbook of Sex Respect. Once he has the confidence just of the logic of abstinence, then you can move him to the spiritual part. Some kids need the spiritual one first, which is in Love, My Love and Life book. And some, at this point, probably need to go through Sex Respect, you know, learn it logically, and then move to the spiritual aspects of chastity in Love and Life. So for now, you might want to get Sex Respect and Love and Life, parent and student, so you have them all there with you. So in case he asks some spiritual questions, you'll have answers to those. But those are the perfect workbooks for you to work on together. Now, the secondary virginity chapter, the one that's done that, change my ways, isn't the first chapter of Sex Respect. You'll have to move back to chapter 8 or 9, I think.
Okay, now get
a new start. Actually, I think it's chapter 10 in the new book. Hey, now get a new start for kids that want to start over, changing their other habits, change their lifestyle, what to watch out for, and a little, you know, the biology and stuff and questions to talk about with you, their grandma or their mother. So go to sexrespect.com.
I don't have internet. Is there a way I can order it on phone?
Oh, sure. I'll tell you the phone number. It's 877
mm-hmm.
and then 6 and then the word respect. So 877-673-7732. 877-673-7732. We'll take you right to our Respect Incorporated offices, and you can order a Sex Respect student workbook and parents guide, and probably a Love and Life student workbook and parents guide. And every grandparent wants that there. It's ammunition and information your teen grandkids are not going to get in a lot of other places. So this is a treasure for grandparents and teenagers.
Well, I thank you so much. I wanted to talk to you a long time about this, but now it's emergency.
Exactly. Sometimes we wait till it's emergency. Maybe I'll give a tip to the other grandmas out there to say, before it becomes an emergency.
That's right. Don't let them wait till a 2x4 hits them.
Exactly. Like, oh, my goodness.
Well thank you so much, and God bless you.
God bless you, too, Ann. Thanks for calling. A grandparent being an opportunity for conversion of her grandson, who was, because of their friendship and openness, was willing to share something with her, and she can help turn his life around so he doesn't have to live with his guilt and continue it. Good call, Ann. Thanks for calling. This is The Doctor Is In. We're at break time right now. This is Colleen Kelly Mast, and we'll be right back after this message.
The Alexian Brothers, a Catholic religious order of men, look back on 800 years of service.
Our concern was always with feeding the poor, nursing the sick, and burying the dead. There was a time when most of our men were nurses. That's not the case anymore. We have MBAs, mechanics, engineers.
The brothers still serve the poor, the elderly, the sick, and dying.
I knew that as an Alexian Brother, I could make a difference in people's lives.
If you're a man generous enough to serve the weakest, call toll-free 1-800-556-0332.
Missed a show? Not sure if it came from Ave Maria Radio? Go to AveMariaRadio.net A list of shows and hosts are there. And if you find the show you're looking for, you can hear the whole thing again by going through the Ave Maria Radio audio archives. For 2 years, we've recorded nearly every show from Ave Maria Radio. Just click on the audio archives message located at the center of our homepage. Now you even have more reasons to become a radioactive Catholic by going to AveMariaRadio.net.
April 24th, 7:13 p.m. As heard only on Ave Maria Radio.
Well, I just got the news, an anonymous donation. It came in, and we have reached the goal for today.
We did.
We did. And
whoa!
So let's write the talk about getting in under the wire. Say thanks. Let's all do. Let's all gather together for a glory be. Okay.
Good day. I'm Al Cresta. It was a week of ups and downs and surprises and just hard work, but you came through. We continue our partnership in the new evangelization. Ave Maria Radio's Spring Drive, our 15th membership drive, turned out to be the largest in our history. And I want to thank you for making it so, even in the midst of these difficult times. It's really a miracle.
Welcome to The Doctor Is In, where you can get free, friendly advice from a Catholic perspective by calling this toll-free number right now, 877-573-7825, 877-5-PEP-TALK is the number to call. There are lines open waiting to hear from you. This is Colleen Kelly Mast, your hostess today. And if you've got any struggles going on in your life, you want a second opinion or the next step to take to get out of that rut that you seem to be in, or something that's disturbing your peace and you need to chat with somebody about it, this is the place to be. The Doctor Is In. 877-573-7825. 877-5-PEP-TALK. I'd love to hear from you. Our next caller is Colleen from Iowa. Welcome to the show, Colleen. How can I help you today?
Hi, Doctor. Thank you for taking my call.
My pleasure.
My husband works with a guy, and they have a daughter who's the same age as our daughter.
And how old is that?
It's 6.
Okay.
And the guy that my husband works with, him and his wife are good friends with a lesbian couple, and they have a child together, and they've done this ceremony thing. And it's never bothered me in the past. But a couple weeks ago, my daughter said, "Mom, girls can get married now." And it floored me because, as you know, Iowa has passed that, where you can legally get married. And so now I'm contemplating, I'm just wondering, should I ban that friendship? Or, because they're very good friends and they go to each other's homes and stuff, and I just don't, I don't know, I guess it struck me and I'm at a loss as to what to do with that friendship.
Yeah, this is very difficult, where kids are getting brainwashed and we're changing language, just like with the pro-life argument. First of all, you need to correct your daughter. And at this beautiful little age of innocence, when they come home with things like that, we have to tell them what the truth is. First of all, mm-hmm. two women cannot have a baby together.
Right.
You need a mom and a dad. There is no such thing as a woman growing cells that only grow in men. And there's no such thing as a man growing cells that only grow in women. That would have to be artificially done. So this is outside of nature. It's outside of God's plan. And no matter what is legislated, no matter what a law said, you can't change the way men and women were created. So the language there that they had a child together, no, they didn't. They rejected some father somewhere who allowed himself to be used. So when you look at the reality of it, there has to be a mom and dad somewhere, whether you ignore it or not.
Mm-hmm.
So that's one of my first language pet peeves. And then girls can get married now. Oh. Actually, I just wrote an article for our diocesan life newsletter when my 5-year-old son first came to me and asked about am I gay? He said, you know, and I said, well, a gay person is, you know, first of all, gay used to mean happy, but now it's a slang term for people, for a man who wants to marry a man. And he goes, oh, my goodness. He goes, and I said, well, do you want to marry a man? And he goes, no, I don't even want to get married at all. And so that is, I said, that's what God said, too. God wants only men to marry women and women to marry men. That's how he planned it. And my husband's favorite line is always, that's why God made Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve. So that's the way he brings it in. And so we want to clarify for them that God's plan for marriage is always between a man and a woman. And these two moms that this gal has, one of them might have adopted her. But there is a dad somewhere in the picture.
She has a mom and a dad, but her mom and dad are friends with a lesbian couple.
Okay. So your daughter is being exposed through her friend to her friend's parents' friends. Is that what you're saying?
Right. Pretty much.
All right.
Right.
So one you want...
Go ahead.
Okay. So what you, the one thing you want to do, as I said, is clarify their what she comes home with. And clarify so she knows the truth about marriage, and girls cannot get married now in God's eyes.
That's what I have to say,
that's a fake thing that somebody has legislated because they're confused right now.
Right.
And God never said that. And then ask her, do you want to honor God? Do you want to do what God says? So then if her friend who's exposed to this is adamant about discussing this and obsessed with this topic and going to disagree with her about it, then you do have to dismiss the friendship and just find some other friends gradually, start playing with other people. But if this friend is open to the truth, or they can just let this whole subject drop, we don't want that to be a topic of conversation every time a six-year-old is playing with their seven-year-old friend. So say if your friend can accept what the truth is and forget about that, you know, then you know it's okay. It's safe to play with them. You might want to have them play at your house so you can hear the conversations and see if it's leading that direction. But like someone that called in a couple of weeks ago, there was a girl that was the child of the lesbian relationship that was just adamant about telling everybody about it. And if that's the case, if it's overbearing and it takes place of what the friendship really should be, then we have to protect our 6 and 7 year olds from that. So
that's kind of the impression that I'm getting. That's kind of exploited there, because just some of the things that she says, I don't. That's the only place I can think of where she comes from saying it. You know.
And so the friend has to be corrected, or the parents of the friend have to be instructed to tell her what the truth is, and to drop that subject, or this friendship just can't continue. And then you'll have to make that decision as a mom. You know, will this be helpful? Will this friendship, and any friendship with our kids, will this friendship help or hinder their path to heaven? Will it confuse them and lead them away from God, or will it lead them toward God? Or in some friendships, when they're older and stronger, can they lead that other person to God without them being led astray?
Mm-hmm. So should I have this conversation with her mom then and just tell her what my daughter's saying? And
mm-hmm. Yeah, go ahead. Have a conversation with her mom and see what if her mom's willing to correct the information, not just accept it. That's normal. That's what everybody's talking about out there. That's in the news. Or is she going to correct it with the truth so they can just have a regular little girl, 6 and 7 year old friendship without discussing those political agendas?
And that's what I'm afraid it's not going to, you know, I don't think it's going to be corrected with the truth on on her side.
On their part. Well, ask her. Maybe she's willing to. I've talked to a lot of my kids' friends' parents that were open to the truth that just didn't have the guts to say it. And then once they knew somebody was standing behind them and expecting that of them, they came around. So try it. It's worth a conversion.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. All right. Well, you have been a tremendous help, and I really appreciate it.
Okay, I appreciate the call, Colleen. There are probably a lot of other people learning alongside you. So God bless you.
Great. Thank you. Same to you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
This is The Doctor Is In. Give me a call with your question if you'd like some free, friendly advice from a Catholic perspective. The number is 877-573-7825. 877-5-PEP-TALK is the number. There are lines open waiting to hear from you. And I love getting your questions. So we'll go next to Maria from San Diego, California. I love San Diego. My sister lives there. Welcome to the show, Maria. Are you listening on the internet or Sirius satellite, or you got a station out there?
I am listening online while I work.
Wonderful.
Yeah, it's a beautiful thing. I've learned so much from all of you guys at an EWTN, so thank you so much for everything that you do.
Sure. Thanks for calling. So what's your question today, Maria?
My question's a little tough. I just went to confession today and talked about it with the priest, so I feel a little bit better, but okay, this is a strange thing, but I'm sure I may not be alone. But
it's probably not as strange as you think.
I'm happily married. We have children, and my vocation of marriage is I love it. It's a beautiful sacrament.
Mm-hmm.
I work a lot in our parish, and I get attracted to good people.
Mm-hmm.
And good people sometimes is a priest. And,
mm-hmm.
and it just is like, get out of my head. How do mm-hmm. I've talked with a priest about it, you know. And
I hope it wasn't that same priest, because that would
no,
be hard
not.
For his heart.
So I wasn't a priest. But he was very helpful. But now I just need maintenance, you know, maybe from a woman's perspective.
Okay. Boy, this is not as unusual as you would think. People with hormones that work closely together, particularly in the church, because in the church you share a spiritual bond. There's an intimacy there in spirituality.
I'm telling you, it's more attractive than the physical.
Oh, my goodness. You're right. You're right, because it's at the depth of your soul. I remember once when at one school I taught at, I won't say which school, but I've taught at 3 or 4 Catholic schools, and there were a couple nuns there that worked closely with the priest. I worked closely with the priest, too, and all of us were struggling with loving being together more than being with our community or with my husband or things like that. That we had one of the nuns asked to be transferred. Another person, you know, that because we were so close to friends, that this attraction is huge. And so we have to learn that one distance. If the attraction there is an occasion of sin for you, and your thoughts are not able to dismiss them or distract them, it's almost worth getting another job. That's how serious this is. Because if you're feeling the attraction, especially if you reveal it to the other person, don't reveal it to them, I'd say. If you feel the attraction, there is some chemistry there, and that becomes an occasion of sin for all the people, 2-3 people involved, because you know the friendship is affecting your hormones. How about that?
Yeah.
So the friendships can be too deep, and there was just a question came up with saying how not unusual this is. A question came up with a person that I know, a friend that I know, about that, who is having another struggle with that a person was working closely with a parish priest, and I said it would be better if she stopped volunteering for everything. It'd almost be better to join another parish than to be able to fight this, because it becomes a difficulty for both people involved. Sometimes you have to find a way to cool it off and flee from it as if your house was on fire. That's how much we have to run. This is a temptation for a priest.
Yes.
It's a temptation for the layperson. It's a temptation to the marriage. And any times when I found that in work, and one old wise deacon friend of mine from 25 years ago in my parish had said that was the problem when women entered the workforce. And it is. It's a difficulty at work for anybody, but particularly in church work. So I'd say run from the situation. Do everything you can. When I felt that even in myself, that I thought, I'd rather, you know, than be home with my husband that night. I'd rather be out with these people I taught religion with. And I thought, oh, my goodness, that's horrible. So then we made a marriage encounter weekend. You know, I actually ended up quitting that job. Not that reason. There were other reasons God was moving in my life for that. But the sister that I said that was very close to this, you know, 3 or 4 people that worked together, the sister asked for a transfer. And you need to do those things to avoid that temptation, because human emotions are quite strong. And in today's day and age, we don't have that discipline over our actions when our chemistry is stirred up like that. So I'd say do everything you can to avoid the occasion of sin and any possible temptation to anybody else, particularly the priest. Have ultimate respect for his vocation, and then do everything you can to bond and unify yourself with your spouse in marriage. Okay?
Yes. Thank you.
It is an emergency. God bless. I'll pray for you, Maria.
Thank you so much.
Thanks for calling. This is The Doctor Is In, where you can get free, friendly advice on all sorts of intimate topics from a Catholic perspective. Here's the number, 877-573-7425. 877-877-5-PEP-TALK is the number. And actually, we've had a couple people call and hang up already, so you could still get on today's show because the callers had hung up. We'll go to Ron next, though. He's the one left on the line here from Pennsylvania. Welcome to the show, Ron. How can I help you today?
Dr. Colleen, thank you, and good afternoon. I had a comment, actually, on the call from 2 ago. I thought you answered well, and since I was at Mass this morning, I love St. Joseph's feast day, so I try to make it a point to go to at least those two special Masses during the year. But just on the last call, too, another quick comment. I remember reading something by St. Philip Neri, who was a priest who helped to transform 16th century Rome, and women used to tempt him all the time, like show up in a fur coat and nothing on underneath. And he would run down the street, and his comment was, sometimes the heroes run away.
Wow. The heroes run away. There are some women that are out to tempt priests, too. It's horrible. Some accidentally because of their closeness of working with them, and some are out to tempt priests away. They find it as a challenge. Well,
you gave wonderful advice. I think we all need to hear that. You know, that's the practical application of, you know, why do we pray the Our Father?
Lead us not into temptation and deliver us from evil.
And speaking of, you know, God's word, I was saying when I called to your producer that you were talking about, you know, the two mommies. Well, that's not God's plan. And I just thought, you know, this is why the church is so wise and why we need to listen to her. She picked out the scripture reading this morning, and of course, you know, St. Joseph the Worker, I mean, that was, I don't know, I think that was Leo the 13th in the 19th century, or maybe it was Pius the 9th, one of those two, as like this antidote, you know, to communism. And, you know, let's have a, you know, a celebration from within Catholic traditions, you know, that combat secular communism. But similarly, you know, you were saying about, you know, the two mommies. Well, the reading this morning, and just how appropriate that the head of the Holy Family receives, you know, a reading on his feast day as a worker.
Of course.
God made them in his image, male and female, he created them. So we're made in the dual image of God, who is, you know, one God, three persons, but with these two, you know, these two identities that are male and female. And, you know, so, I mean, it's right there. And unfortunately, with the loss of, you know, reading the Bible in our country and, you know, at least in public schools, we lose this knowledge and wisdom.
Yes, you're right. You are so right. Well, thank you so much for that, Ron.
Well, you're welcome, Doctor, and keep on with your good advice. You're wonderful. I just tuned in, so, you know, thank you for being there.
God bless you. Thanks for
calling.
God
bless you. Bye,
Doctor. The call. Bye-bye. And sharing with us the teachings of the Church. This is The Doctor Is In, where you can get free, friendly advice from a Catholic perspective. It's time for a break now, and we'll be right back with more of your questions and some answers after this message.
Today, we're interviewing Little Miss Perfect.
Your tie is crooked.
Isn't it a burden having to be so perfect all the time?
That's burden. Enunciate.
Have you always been this perfect?
Yes, you really ought to do something about that overbite.
I understand, Little Miss Perfect, that you have a new book out.
Correct. It's 876,132 easy steps to perfection. You might be interested in the chapter about perfect body aroma.
It sure is heavy. Uh-oh, I think there's a mistake. The chapter on perfect car repair has only one word in it. Fozzies. You made a mistake. Little Miss Perfect made a mistake. Ha ha.
I do not make mistakes. There's simply no more to be said. Fozzies is the perfect place for car repair.
Come to Fozzies Auto Repair and get an oil change for as low as $16.99 or save 15% off the full price of any major auto repair just by saying you heard it on WDEO. Fozzies, located on Stadium just south of Jackson Road in Ann Arbor. Call toll-free 800-895-8700. Fozzies Auto Repair. It's your car, our reputation.
This is Father John Carafi inviting you to join me August 15, 2009 at HSBC Arena in Buffalo, New York for a one-day conference entitled Lord and Giver of Life. For more information and to register, visit FatherCarafiLive.com or call 1-888-223-6000. I look forward to seeing you Saturday, August 15, 2009.
Love is in the air, and that's why the Ave Maria online store has plenty to offer about existing relationships and blossoming ones.
The ABCs to Finding a Good Husband and a Good Wife are a pair of unique books to help find a lifelong partner in this divorce-crazed society.
The book Holy Sex tries to explain why Catholics are satisfied with their sex life more than others.
And the DVD Fireproof is an inspirational film about love, sacrifice, and heroism.
To learn more, go to the online store at AveMariaRadio.net. That's AveMariaRadio.net.
Welcome back to The Doctor Is In, where you can get free friendly advice from a Catholic perspective. This is Colleen Kelly Mast, your hostess today, here to help you with your personal problems. Usually here on Mondays and Fridays. Dr. Ray Garendi's here on Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursdays, and we are here to help you with Catholic flavored answers to those struggles in life. Our next caller is Catherine from Edmonton, Canada. Welcome to the show, Catherine. How can I help you today?
Hi, Colleen. I have a question in regards to helping my husband be the leader in the family. I was raised where my father was, and he didn't really see that example growing up in his family.
Mm-hmm. I know that's a struggle with many, many young families today that didn't see that example. And so it's then the wife is put in a position where you're trying to ask yourself, do I take over? Or how do I empower and enable him and love him into this strength that he didn't see? Well, right. There are a couple of things you can do. One is to hang around with other couples who have a husband who is a good spiritual leader. So if that's possible, that's always the first choice, because then him hearing it from another husband doesn't come up like in a nagging way. It just becomes, hey, I can learn from him. He just watches, he can observe. Even if he went, you know, hunting or fishing with those guys and they were talking about those kind of things, that's a wonderful way to give him that example if he hadn't seen it before. Another thing would be to be holy yourself, be as feminine and supportive and as smart as you can as you approach your marriage with teamwork. So being a good wife is just as important of, you know, encouraging him to be the leader. So be that good wife, be the model wife that he can. And then you want to work together on strengthening your marriage and building your parenting skills together. And let him know gently, you know, maybe in a weekly parenting meeting. Do you have kids already, Catherine?
Yeah, we have two children. Okay. They're under 2 years.
So. Okay. And what you want to do is to become a team of that and let him know gently what you expect of him, you know, what you hope of him. Tell him what you saw in your dad that you see that he's so capable of and encourage him in that. Today is the perfect day for you to call with that question, Catherine, because it's the Feast of St. Joseph. And it'd be the perfect thing to do tonight after the kids go to bed is to have a nice little romantic time or candlelight dinner, just a holding hands talk in front of the fireplace if it's cold there, about St. Joseph. And maybe some things you could pull off the internet about St. Joseph, or maybe just some things about fatherhood. And you can talk about that and say, this is what I see you being. This is what I dreamed of when I met you. And I can see, and then just tell him about the little ways you've seen that he has been a good leader to you. Build up what's good. And husbands reflect that dignity of God's fatherhood. So all the things you've seen good in him, build that up. And then maybe you might want to do some studying together, mutual study. For example, a very simple book that I often recommend to families is called The Catholic Family Handbook by Father Lawrence Lovasik, L-O-V-A-S-I-K, The Catholic Family Handbook. It's published by Sophia Institute Press. And there are two sections in it, one about strengthening your marriage to be a good Catholic couple, and the second is about raising your children. And in the first section, about strengthening your marriage, he talks about the dignity of God's fatherhood. He talks about the home life based on the Holy Family of Nazareth by imitating the Holy Family. You can put a picture of the Holy Family up in your living room or maybe your bedroom and discuss, you know, it maybe, you know, even if it's a couple pages or read out loud for a year or discuss a chapter a week, whatever speed he likes, a way that you can discuss the fatherhood and the motherhood that God's calling you to now that you have children. And in that book itself, instead of you being the one bringing it up, the book will say in its top 10 list of strengthening your marriage, it says, you know, that the mother and father have the duty to educate their children in spiritual matters, and the the father is a vocation in God's service that needs to be taken, you know, with determination of serious men. And then encourage him. Keep encouraging him to attend things that, you know, men's retreats or things of that fathers are involved in. But those basic things, study with him, be a good wife, and introduce him to other men who are a good role model for him. And I think those three things and a lot of prayer and encouragement should pan out for you. Okay?
Thank you so much.
All right. Thanks for calling, Catherine. I appreciate the call. So many young families don't even know what's expected of them. We just learned marriage from the culture, and that's not a good help. So maybe the Catholic Family Handbook by Father Lawrence Lovasik would help a lot of you in talking about and being the couples that we want to be. This is The Doctor's Inn, where you get free, friendly advice from a Catholic perspective. Next caller is Diane from Nebraska. Welcome to the show, Diane. How can I help you today?
Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you. You can speak up a little bit and let us know what your question is.
My question is, I am kind of struggling with some anxiety and some depression.
Mm-hmm.
And I've had this experience throughout my adult life on and off.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm wondering if you could direct me to, say, a good book, a resource there in order to kind of correct thinking patterns that I know are not, you know, right.
Mm-hmm.
And just me with that.
Okay. And what have you done before to correct it? You said you've been dealing with this for a while, Diane.
Yes. Well, in the, like I said, it's something that's kind of reoccurred throughout my life. I'm on some medication that I just started a few weeks ago.
Okay.
I've had to just take time off of a part-time job that I was working at. So, yeah. I guess a change right now.
Mm-hmm. All right, so you're seeing a counselor then if you have some, if you're on medication, correct?
What?
You're seeing a counselor that has prescribed medication for you?
Well, I just saw a psychiatrist who gave me a prescription, but I'm not seeing a counselor right now.
All right. And are they helping you with any suggestions or just put you on the prescription?
Just put me on the prescription.
Okay. All right. One thing about people that are struggling with anxiety and depression, often I've not always found that reading helps. And so I'm not sure if reading a book about it is going to get you out of this. One, remember that if they put you on medication, it takes 2 or 3 weeks, sometimes 4, for the medication to work. And then you have to, you know, you might change, you know, medications if you see this one isn't helping. But some of the things that scientists are finding now that work that are very helpful would be exercise and good nutrition. There are great nutritional supplements out there that have helped people overcome depression. I know I took one myself when I was suffering from postpartum depression after my fifth child. Some of the studies are showing now that an hour of aerobic exercise a day, the way it stimulates the hormones in your brain, the chemicals in your brain, the happy chemicals in your brain are stimulated by that kind of aerobic exercise, that it works just as well as the depression medicines. Pardon?
You know, I have been going for walks, but not an hour long.
Right.
More like a half hour.
Okay. And if it's enough to get your heart rate going and enough to make you feel happy, so you have a little speed to it, not as casual, not just for the circulation.
No, I will continue that.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And then the next thing besides the good nutrition, the exercise, is doing something to get out of yourself, doing something where you use your particular talents so that you become of service to other people, to help somebody that's either less fortunate than you or has a disability, or, you know, whether it's at a nursing home or a daycare center or one of your neighbors that needs some help. Usually getting out and helping people is where God can change our heart, where he helps us begin to see other things in a new way or see our compassion for someone else. And then we get a sense of satisfaction that, again, stimulates that desire in us to get out and be more for others. So if you're ready, seeing that psychiatrist, give the medication a few more weeks to work or ask them for something else that will perk you up a bit. Try the best nutrition that you can. Maybe your health food store would recommend that. If you're looking for something particular, you can email me for my website, and I can tell you what I used. The exercise and then the volunteer work, some way that you get out of yourself and help others. All those things are helpful for those anxiety and depression issues. Okay?
Okay, thank you.
Okay, thanks for calling, Diane. This is The Doctor Is In, where you can get free, friendly advice from a Catholic perspective. And I think we're near the end of our calls. So, good, I get to finish talking about those of you that are going to First Communions this week, about the Eucharist. We were talking about earlier at the beginning of the show how the Eucharist increases our supernatural life. And I think a lot of people in our culture today are missing out. They're living just a superficial life instead of a supernatural life. And when you allow Christ to transform you, when you spend time with him before the Blessed Sacrament, when you receive Holy Communion, let him help you see life how he sees it. We're here to be his apostles, to be representatives of Christ. That's what we're baptized for, to represent Jesus Christ on earth. And so by receiving the Eucharist, whether it's your First Communion tomorrow or your niece's First Communion or maybe some of you that just are coming back to the church or coming into the church through RCIA, we realize that Holy Communion fills our soul spiritually and gives us this a greater desire for those things that are eternal. And so it gives us that grace. Jesus even said, those who eat me will still be hungry. Those who drink of me will, those who receive my body and my blood, I will fulfill them. And so just as material food becomes us, we are what we eat. If we receive Christ, the spiritual food turns the people who eat of this food into Christ. He begins to transform us. So this sacrament is part of our conversion. It helps transform us into Christ. When you say, oh, I'm never going to be like Jesus Christ. Well, you can. Just little by little, we receive his graces. And it brings us great delight to receive First Communion or many, many consecutive communions. Hopefully every communion that you receive is even better than your First Communion. It helps us prepare for, gives us the strength to get through the day. It helps us prepare for death. It gives us that food of Christ. So there isn't anything greater than to receive in a very holy and worthy way First Communion or consecutive communion. So those of you that are going to First Communion this weekend, make sure that you appreciate all that God offers. His body, his blood, his soul, and divinity in the Eucharist. This is Dr. Colleen reminding you to be Christ to others.
Would you like a copy of this program? If you miss a part of this program or want to hear it again, Ave Maria programming can be made yours when you order. Just call 734-930-4506. Within a few weeks, you'll receive a copy of this show and any others you want to order on CD. Call 734-930-4506. April 24th.
7:13 p.m.
As heard only on Ave Maria Radio.
Well, I just got the news, an anonymous donation. It came in, and we have reached the goal for today.
We did?
We did. And
whoa!
So let's write the, talk about getting in under the wire. Say thanks. Let's all do. Let's all gather together for a glory be, okay?
Good day. I'm Al Cresta. It was a week of ups and downs and surprises and just hard work. But you came through. We continue our partnership in the new evangelization. Ave Maria Radio's Spring Drive, our 15th membership drive, turned out to be the largest in our history. And I want to thank you for making it so, even in the midst of these difficult times. It's really a miracle.
The Ave Maria CD library continues to grow. On our Christ is the Answer program, Father John Ricardo is presenting a series of four talks on prayer. It's Lord, Teach Us to Pray. He addresses the practical steps, praying with Scripture, our Mother Mary, and much more. The four CD box set is $34. Just prior to the election, we featured Voting as a Catholic by Dr. Peter Kreft and The Truth About Stem Cell Research by Right to Life of Michigan's Ed Rivett. The election is passed, but these CDs should be in your library. All editions of Crest in the Afternoon, Catholic